Let's just pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, that your kingdom is an eternal kingdom. And Lord, we get to be a part of something that is so important that all the angels in heaven will have to actually step aside as we sing the song of the redeemed. Even the angels don't understand the full magnitude of this plan that you have, this story that you're unfolding, the great epic of God redeeming the world from darkness and sin and the power of Satan, and ultimately bringing the kingdom of love and light and peace and joy and putting all evil out of this world. We thank you, Lord, that we're looking forward to ruling and reigning with Christ. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Thank you for your calling on our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name, we bless you, Lord. Amen. I want to continue a little bit today about the King's invitation. If you weren't here last week, I want to just spend a little time, because this is such an important subject, and we've been also studying this in our small groups. And if you're not in the small group, still time to get involved. Just see Marilyn. I'm not sure, is Marilyn in the back? She's somewhere. Oh, there you are. Hi, Marilyn. Sorry. Just see Marilyn or Jerry, and they'll help you get signed up. But we're learning about what it means to be disciples of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And today, last week, we talked about the king's invitation. But today, I want to talk about whose kingdom will you choose? Whose kingdom will you choose? Let's look at Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, and then 1 Corinthians. Mark chapter 1. And 1 Corinthians, this is verse 14 and 15. Now, after John had been taken into custody, referring to John the Baptist, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God, the message of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel."
Amen.
This is the first message of Jesus. These are his introductory words. After John the Baptist was put in prison, Jesus came and began preaching the gospel in Galilee. And he opens with these words: "Wake up, repent, pay attention, because God's kingdom is now upon you. I am a representative of the King of Heaven. He is inaugurating a new kingdom, and you are privileged to be a part of it. You're also privileged to have responsibility that kingdom implies." Amen? And then in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 24 to 26, this fast forwards all the way to the end of the story. Everybody say, the end of the story.
The end of the story.
This is how it all concludes, 1 Corinthians 15, 24 to 26. See, God has a story. God has a plan. Turn to your neighbor and say, God doesn't do random.
God doesn't do random.
The world may be random, but God is not random. The world may be a little crazy, but God knows what he's doing. Then the end will come when he, that is Christ, hands over the kingdom to God the Father. After he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power, in other words, all evil is going to be put under subjugation to God, be subject to God. He will rule the nations, the Bible says, with a rod of iron. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. So Jesus is our great general. Jesus is our great hope. He is the captain of the armies of heaven. He's a superhero that all the other superheroes are borrowing the idea from.
That's right. Yeah.
You didn't get that. That amen was good enough. I said Jesus is the superhero that all the other superheroes are borrowing the idea from him. He's the ultimate superhero. And when he goes against evil, the Bible says all those enemies, all dominion, power, the wicked forces in high places, powers, principalities, will all bow to the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of lords and King of kings. Hallelujah. There is no name like Jesus. Brother Angel, you said it so well this morning. There is no other name that has his power. There's no other name that carries such authority as the name of Jesus. I want to summarize what I covered last week real quickly. We talked about the king's invitation. that the kingdom of heaven is like a great king who invited people to the wedding banquet for his son. And he wanted everyone to come to this wedding banquet, but some people refused to come.
Yeah.
And then it talked about the celebration of this ultimate victory in heaven, the wedding supper of the Lamb, the banquet in which our union with Christ will be celebrated forever and ever.
Amen.
Not only is it God's final victory, but it's also significant that we will be forever and ever united with Christ.
Amen.
There'll be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more sin, and even death.
Yeah.
Even death.
Amen.
A lot of people worry about death, but to God, death is just a passage.
Amen.
From one life to eternal life. From one life to eternal. Aren't you glad for the hope we have in Christ?
Amen.
Hallelujah. The loved ones who have gone before us, who knew Jesus, we'll see them again. We'll see them again. And then we talked about the King's love, because he loves us so much and created us to be part of his family. He has a plan to restore us to himself. Satan, who is the evil one, has interrupted the dominion of earth and brought deception to earth and rebellion to the planet.
Yes.
Satan has brought rebellion to the planet earth. But God has a plan. You can't take God by surprise. Amen?
Amen?
God has a plan from the beginning of time to restore us to himself. And that has to do with sacrificing his own son. Colossians 1:13 says, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the son he loves."
Amen.
I want you to say that with me. "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves."
Yes, yes.
So you are an heir of the kingdom of heaven.
Yes.
Once you are born again, you are introduced into a new realm. I mean, you're still living here on earth. But you're in the world, but you're not of the world. When Jesus was being interviewed by Pilate, he said to Pilate, he says, "My kingdom is not of this world." At which point Pilate started to really get nervous. He says, "Oh, you are a king? Yes, 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 it is as you say. I am a king. But my kingdom is from a different dimension. It's a spiritual kingdom. This is just pale. The earth is just pale compared to the glories that will be revealed in that kingdom." Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And then we learned about the king's ransom. That the only one who could pay the price for our redemption was his son. The only one that was pure enough, the only one that was good enough, the only one that was powerful enough to rescue us from this deception, this rebellion, this stain of sin that got so deep inside of us, we were bad to the bone.
Yeah.
Bad to the bone. You like that, Gloria? All right. Because there's sins, you know, there's things that you do, you lose your temper, you shake your fist at that guy that cuts you off in the road. But then there's iniquity. What's the difference between sin and iniquity? Iniquity is the reason that we commit sins. It's because our hearts have been infected by sin. We're born that way because we inherited the rebellion and the deception that Adam and Eve began back in the garden was passed on from one generation to another. Many people have tried to reform their lives. "I'll do it on my own. I'll get better. I'll try harder." How many of you know that doesn't work? But then Jesus come along. And through his sacrifice, through his power, we're able not only to be broken free from the grasp of sin, but we're able to have a brand new heart. So we don't want to sin anymore. Hallelujah. We don't have the propensity to sin anymore. We have the power to overcome and say no to sin. Because the Holy Spirit is now in charge of our lives. Somebody say, "I'm under new management. I'm a born-again Christian. I'm a new person. I'm brand new." Hallelujah. A child of the King. But it took a king's ransom. You ever hear that expression, a king's ransom? God bankrupted heaven. He took the treasure of heaven. Not money, not angels, not glory, not gold streets, not beautiful buildings. Those things are waiting for us. But he took the treasure of heaven, his only son.
Amen.
and he sacrificed him in this world.
Thank you,
so you and I could be restored.
Thank you.
And then at the end, in Matthew 25, 34, there will be the reward of his sacrifice. This is powerful. Isaiah prophesied that he will see the reward of his sacrifice. The son's travail, the price that Christ paid, will be rewarded by the Father.
Amen.
The king will say to those on the right, Matthew 25, 34, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance,
Amen. The
kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world.
Amen.
His satisfaction will be to know that you and I have been brought back. We were lost, but now we're found. Hallelujah.
Yes.
We were blind, but now we see. This is his reward.
Yes, yes, yes.
Did you know that the Lord's people, we are his portion?
Yes.
We are the Lord's inheritance?
Yes.
His reward is us.
Yes.
He died for us. He shed his blood for us.
Amen.
He wants you and his family.
Yes, he does.
Turn to your neighbor and say, God wants you and his family. Do you realize that he wants you to be his child, a child of the king?
Amen.
And today, though, I want to speak a little bit more about life in the family. What it's like to be in God's family. It's challenging, it's glorious, and it has great potential. It's not easy because there are all kinds of different people in the kingdom of God and all kinds of backgrounds. We have people who have been scarred, people who have been hurt, people who have doubts, people who have fears. But God, fortunately, has a plan in place by which we can be healthy. Not only are we going to be saved eventually and positionally, we're, you know, seated with Christ in heavenly places, but while we're here on this earth, God has given us the means and the ability to grow together healthy, as a family, as a body. Can you say amen?
Amen?
So we become disciples of God's kingdom by choosing to live every day under the lordship of Jesus Christ. We obey his word and the influence of the Holy Spirit. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. But we are in this world for the sake of reaching the world.
Yes.
God left us. You know, he could have just said, okay, as soon as you get saved, y'all just come up. How many of you have secretly ever said that, you know, to yourself, like, boy, wouldn't that be cool if God just saved me and then just go straight to heaven? Boom. Just like that. But we have a job to do.
Right.
We've got work to do because Jesus left 12 disciples initially on earth and he told them, go out and make disciples of other people. Change the world by telling them about my love. Tell them about my Father's kingdom. Tell them about the future. And then through those disciples, there were 120, and then 3,000, and then 5,000, and now there are over 3 billion Christians in the world. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
3 billion Christians.
Thank you, Jesus.
We are children of the heavenly King.
Thank you, Lord.
We are also given kingdom authority in his name. John 15, verse 16, Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you. Somebody say, God chose me. Jesus said it in John 15. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you might go and bear fruit.
Yeah.
Fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give to you.
Amen.
He gave authority to his 12 disciples. And then in the book of Luke, it says there were 70 others that he sent out and he authorized.
Yeah.
See, God didn't just save you and cleanse you from your sin. He also empowers you to live a victorious life. He empowers you with the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. He empowers you with the Holy Spirit so that you can be like a little Jesus. As a matter of fact, the word Christian actually means little Jesus. That's what it means. It means to be like Jesus. In Matthew 10, 7 to 8, he tells his followers, go and announce to them that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, is near. Heal the sick, just like I have. Raise the dead as I have. Cure the lepers and cast out demons. As freely as you have received, give as freely as you have received.
Amen.
Are you seeing a picture here? Jesus was sent by the Father.
Yeah.
Now Jesus sends us and gives us the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
to represent him all over the earth.
Yeah.
Luke 10:1, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them out two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. And again, Luke 10:8-9, whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things that are set before you. Go and visit people. And while you're there, heal the sick and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Do you see the transition from Christ saying, repent, Mark chapter 1, repent and believe the gospel because the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, after his resurrection and his ascension, he's saying, you go out in my name. You are authorized. You are anointed. Hallelujah. You have the same Holy Spirit that I have. You have the same kingdom mission. You have the same kingdom authority. In my name, he said, you will cast out devils. In my name, you will ask the Father for whatever you need. As long as you're my representative on earth, don't forget that you have that authority. You have that connection to the Father. And then it says they returned with joy after going on their assignment. Lord, the disciples, these are just ordinary fishermen. Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Behold, this is found in Luke 10. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Hallelujah. See, the enemy doesn't want you to know this. Maybe some of you are even distracted this morning. And you're having a hard time focusing, a hard time paying attention. Because the devil doesn't want you to know this big secret that I know and that we know. That God has given us power over every evil force. Hallelujah. We can trample under the lies of Satan. We can trample them under our feet. Hallelujah. We can say to the devil, you're not going to have my children. Hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to get that diabetes like my grandmother did. Or I'm not going to get that cancer. Or I'm not going to fail in business because somebody else did the same thing. I am more than a conqueror through him who loved me. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Spirits are subject to you.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
There are spirits that want to torment our families.
Yes.
That want to divide marriages.
Yes.
You have the authority to say no in Jesus' name.
Yes.
You can't control what other people do. But as for me and my house, Joshua said, we will serve the Lord. I remember when my father-in-law was running from God, my wife's dad had a calling to be in the ministry. And after World War II, he came back. He was a medic in the service. And he wasn't interested in God. He started a heating business, a plumbing and heating business. He was very successful. He bought a brand new car, which in those days, very few people had a brand new car. You don't want to go to church. But Sister Grace, my wife's mom, used to prepare supper. And she used to say to him, Jerry, here's your dinner. Food's on the table. I'm going to the prayer meeting.
Amen.
I'm going to church. She didn't get all upset and offended because he wouldn't go to church. And say, well, if you're not going to church, I'm not going either. She said, I know where I need to be. I'm not rebelling against you. I respect you.
Yeah.
You're still my husband. You're still my authority figure. But I love you, but I'm going to serve Jesus.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the rest of the story, he got sick with tuberculosis, was dying, had 3 weeks left to live, down to skin and bones, 18 hemorrhages in 1 week, coughing up his lung. God miraculously healed him. And guess what? He was very, very anxious to get into the ministry after that. How many of you know God has a plan? And the church that he basically pioneered from 1952 is still there in Valley Stream, Long Island, doing great work for God.
Thank you, Lord.
And I think of his wife. My wife's mother, Grace Moriello.
Yes.
I said, no matter what, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to hold on. Because the devil is not going to take my husband. Come on now.
Amen.
And I'm not saying that if you have situations in your life where your husband is rebellious and he's difficult or he's walked out on you, that's not your fault. Somebody say, that's not my fault. Don't blame yourself, okay? Be encouraged. You just do your part. You be the best Christian you can be. That's all you're responsible. You're not responsible for his behavior. You just be the best Christian you need to be. Hallelujah. Authority. Peter and John saw the man who was lame by the gate. And you know, silver and gold have I none. But what I do have, I give to you. What did he have? He had the power of the kingdom of God. What I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
This is part of our training for reigning. The Bible says, how much more will we reign in this life with Christ?
Yes.
We're bringing the power of love in heaven to earth.
Yes.
We are kingdom disciples. We are kingdom representatives. Humbly, not proud. Somebody say, not proud. Humbly, but confidently working with him to transform the world. You are his ambassadors. You are his ambassadors. The kingdom of God is not about great privilege and great prestige. It's about being a great servant. Jesus said the greatest of those among you is the greatest servant. The greatest servant is the greatest person. We are people who have gotten a hold of the king's purpose and mission. Jesus said that we need to have childlike faith and childlike humility. Matthew 18, verses 1 to 4. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. He said, truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is shocking. This is shocking. You would think like, well, the smartest person, the most talented person, the most religious academically, you know, the smartest theological, whatever. No, he says, I want you to be humble like a little child. I want you to trust me. I want you to be childlike in your faith. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of this child is greatest in the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
That's just like so against the way the world thinks. Are you with me this morning? That's not the way the world thinks. You know, I love the story of the prodigal son. When he started out, he was very arrogant. And many of you know the story of the prodigal son. He goes to his parent. His father was a wealthy man, so he was spoiled and apparently, you know, didn't appreciate his father's love for him. He goes to his father and says, give me what's coming to me. Give me my inheritance. And many of you have ever dealt with children who have to give me's. Give me, give me, give me. Even some adults have the give me's. Come on. But after his experience out in the world, when everything started to go south, and all of the so-called friends, when the money ran out, all the friends ran out. And he started to get hungry because he didn't even have food to eat. Then he said to himself, I will go back to my father's house. And I will say to my father, I am not worthy to be called your son. There's nothing that any one of us has done to make us worthy of God. He chose us because he loves us. He loves us because he chooses us. Because he sees what we can become when we have a relationship with him. And so the prodigal son goes back and now he says, make me a servant. First he says, give me. Now he says, make me.
Wow.
How many of you believe that this morning?
Amen.
And then the father says, no, you're not just a servant. See, I love this beautiful dynamic. The son humbles himself and realizes that he's even honored to be a servant in his father's house. But the father says, no, you're more than a servant. Bring the ring. Put the ring back on his finger. Bring a robe signifying his position, his authority. Put shoes on his feet. So when we finally get it that God is the boss and he's the king and we're okay to be servants, he glorifies us with his power and his beauty and shares with us all of the blessings of heaven. Hallelujah. And there's so much more I want to say to you this morning, but I want to wrap it up in this way. Whose kingdom will you choose? Whose kingdom will you choose? You see, God is not taking part-time applications. God is not taking part. You can't be a part-time Christian. You can't be just somebody who says, well, I want the good stuff, you know, and I want to go for my blessing. I'm going to show up because I want to get my blessing. But you know what? This is a 24/7 responsibility. You are kingdom disciples. You are representatives of heaven. You are representatives of this Bible. And let me ask you something, friend. When people look at your story, what do they learn about God? When people read your life, what does your life tell about God? Have you ever thought of that? When people look at you, do they learn something good about God? Are they attracted to God? This is a tough question. It's a tough question. And it's good to remind ourselves that people are reading us. You know, the Bible says we are living epistles, right? Known and read of all men. Just like you're a book, you're a living book. But people are reading your life, and we want to reflect all the good things about God. Amen?
Yeah.
Help us, dear Lord.
Yes.
Life in the family includes all of the one another's in the Bible. Love one another. Encourage one another. Confess your faults to one another. Pray for one another. Bear one another's burdens. The family of God, the family of the kingdom of God, should be the best family in the world. Not perfect, but in process. We are in process. We are, you know, royalty in process. Royal heirs in training. Yes, thank you, Pastor Andrew. We are royalty in training. But that takes a lot of character development. Are you with me this morning? It takes a lot of humility. It takes a lot of patience. It takes a lot of love. It takes the kind of love that only God can give. And we need that in our life. Today, I'm hoping and I'm praying that you will choose once again to say, no matter what the world around me does, I will follow Jesus. I will follow Jesus. If you haven't been baptized as an adult, even as a teenager, you know, maybe you were christened as a baby, and I often say this, that was your parents' choice. Your parents brought you to church and they maybe had a dedication service or christening. But Jesus commanded that we be baptized as our identification with him. His death, his burial, and his resurrection. And to let the world know. The reason we do baptism publicly is because we want there to be witnesses. We're able to say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed to let the world know. I'm going to get all wet. And I'm going to identify with Christ in this public ceremony. Because I'm not ashamed to say, I belong to Jesus.
Amen.
I'm a child of the King. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm the child of his love. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I'll never be ashamed to say that I follow him. Let's pray. Father, thank you today.
Thank you, Jesus.
I thank you, God, that people are making decisions today, Lord, to be full-time.
Yes.
Full-time Christians, Lord.
Yes. Thank you.
Not just on Sundays. Not just on Wednesday night, but 24 hours a day, Lord. Help us to live for Jesus. Hallelujah. How many of you can say this morning, I want all that God has for me. I want all. I'm not trying to add Jesus onto my life just in case. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to work in this closing part of this service, oh God. Would somebody pray with me right now? Father, there are people here that are precious, precious. There are teenagers in this church, Lord, that need to get plugged into this message, Lord. We're not in church just for a good feeling. We're not just using God as a life preserver just in case. You have called us to be your disciples. Now, how many of you could raise a hand this morning and say, I truly want to be a disciple of Jesus? Would you raise your hand? I want to be a disciple of Jesus. You see, following Jesus is not just a mental attitude. It's a love relationship. As Pastor Angela said, it's not a religion. It's a relationship with a real person. With a real person. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you would, while our heads are still bowed and our eyes still closed, let's just say, Pastor, remember me in prayer. I need to get closer to Jesus. I need to get closer. I need to get closer to Him. Would you lift a hand? I'm not going to call you up. I'm just asking, where are you? Do you have the courage to say, yes, I need to get closer to Jesus? Anybody here? Anybody? Yes, God bless you. God bless you. Many of you. Father God, Pastor Angel, join me. I pray for those who have raised their hands and those who should have raised their hands, Lord. That you'd help us to realize, Father, that our love for you needs to grow deeper. And our love for you shows up in our words. It shows up in how I treat people. It shows up in whether I live in fear or I live by faith. Whether I live in the Word of God or I just close the book and don't pay attention to it. Lord, this is reality, Father. I pray that the kingdom of God will come to Catalyst. The will of God be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is the great prayer that you taught us to pray. As a matter of fact, let's say it together. Thy kingdom come.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done. On earth.
On earth.
In me. And through me. As it is in heaven. In Jesus' name. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes, I want to encourage you. It's, you know, becoming a disciple is just one step in front of the other. You know, sometimes we try to always think of the trajectory so far ahead that we say it's impossible. But, you know, God leaves footprints for us. A step at a time. That's all it takes. And the Lord sees your heart. He will send help.